Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry that I know my Redeemer lives. Aren't you glad about it? Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know. Aren't you glad? Oh, let's stand and sing it this morning. Oh, yes, I know. My Redeemer lives. Yes, I know. My Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Somebody say he's alive today. Now give him another big hand clap of praise. Oh, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Oh, yes, I know. Somebody say hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord outstanding? Aren't you glad to be a part of God's great church today? Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him. All your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So glad to have all of you here in the service today. Brother Robert Marrero and some of the folks from New York are here with us again this morning. Brother Robert, I want you to get ready to pray here just in a few minutes, if you will. I'm going to, I believe, Brother Tim Burdett's this evening to have service down there with those folks. Let's just pray that God will give you a real good time. I want us to remember our pastor in prayer again this morning, that the Lord just give him strength, give him healing in his body. We love our pastor around here, don't we? We appreciate the man of God that he's given to us. Amen. And I know that given the choice, you'd take his sickness so that he could be well here this morning and preach in this pulpit. Let's just pray for our brother as we pray today. Want to remember these requests. Sister Natalie Yance is going to be in Chicago for about 6 weeks undergoing radiation treatment. I want you to continue to remember the Buchanan family in prayer. Glenda talked with Sister Shirley yesterday and just still in a very sad situation, but let's pray that the Lord would just comfort their hearts. We'll remember Brother Doug McKinney in prayer. He's sick, unable to be in the service. Brother Joel Moyer asked us to pray for a job situation that has to do with workman's compensation and God's leadership and all that. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of him this morning. Brother Baker wants to thank the Lord for helping his father-in-law. The doctors reported that almost all of his cancer is gone. Praise the Lord and thank you for your prayer. So praise God for that this morning. I want to pray for Justin Davis. That's Sister Cheryl Davis's son. He's in the hospital in Germany with infection in the muscle around his heart. Possible gallbladder problems also. So let's remember that situation today. Also want to pray for a boy next to Justin. He has pneumonia. He is from Happy Valley. So let's remember those needs today as we pray. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord on behalf of Linda Thacker. Got a good report back from the doctor, cancer free. So we want to praise the Lord for that. The Horniak family says they want to thank you for your prayers, cards, food, and your visits during the passing of Kim. Your continued prayers during this time are greatly appreciated. So let's remember those folks as we pray. I want to pray for Joe Jackson sends this in to please remember my dad, Bo Jackson. They had to take him to the hospital this morning with heart problems. So let's remember that need as we pray. I want to pray for David Green. He is experiencing blood clots in his legs. Brother Jerry Glenn works with him, and they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord this morning before we pray. Let's sing that little chorus together one more time. I know that my Redeemer liveth, Brother Larry. Let's sing it one more time as Brother Robert gets ready to lead us in prayer this morning. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen. How many know your Redeemer lives this morning? Amen. How many appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. How many believe that he's all? He's my absolute. Not any man, but God. Amen. I appreciate the Lord for giving me the opportunity of being here this morning. You know, it's good to get away. Sometimes a minister needs to get away and just sit for a while. And some ministers, I don't know, don't learn from other gifts, but I do. I don't know what it is, but I when I come here, I take something that I learned. When I go to Brother any other minister's church, I learn something. You know why? We don't know at all. Sometimes I have people come to my church and try to debate the word with me. I look at them. I don't debate the word with nobody. Okay, you want to know more than me? Fine. Thank God, because I don't know at all. The lot of places that I minister to, I tell everybody that I have a title. My title is DUP. Do everybody understand what that means? That means a dumb, unlearned preacher. I left school when I was real young. And when I left school, I had a sixth grade reading level. I was preaching this message since I was 18. Now I'm 43. And let me tell you something, people. I learned how to read by reading this message in this Bible. If you tell me count after 10,000, I'll be lost. But let me tell you something. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And that's God. A lot of people, I know you all been on this series, and I've been on this seven parts in my church that the Holy Spirit led me to. You could have all the letters in the world. You could have all the revelation in the world. A lot of people walk with the seven church age book, and these people, every time I see him, everything what they quote is a seven church age book. But we're coming to the end of that dispensation. What happened when that end comes? What about the rest of the other message? You see, give me all the message the way it is. Exactly the way it is. Because it'll produce a growth. It'll give you power. Because the power is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like brother, I heard Brother Donnie say on one of the services, he says, it's not passing tracts, mine. I always tell this to people. It's not passing tract. Preach that word the way it is. It's power. Anyway, I don't want to keep you long. I'm sorry. Always, you know, always a preacher. Always. It's hard to shut them up, and it's good to see each one of you. It's good to see Brother Amos. It's good to see Brother Horn. They minister for me, Brother Amos, and it's good to see Brother Hira and all the wonderful ministers here. Please pray for them. Before I continue in prayer, I'm sorry I took your time a little bit. Pray for your pastor. You know, talking with him in the back room yesterday, you know, it's not easy being a pastor. And I never wanted to be one, but I have to be one because that's what's God's plan, his predestinated plan. And we want to do his will. And I know Brother Donnie has a load on him. And I looked at him yesterday. I went back and I sat down in my hotel room. I said, Lord, help this man. How the devil would like to see all the ministry just defeated. Hallelujah. You know why? If the devil gets ministers that don't preach the word of God up in the pulpit, he'll rob you of a resurrection. And when you have a man of God like Brother Daniel that preached to you the word of God, don't criticize him. I had enough criticism in my church, and I have a small church. I imagine a big church. Pray for your pastor. You know you're supposed to pray for your pastor, said Brother Brandon. If we're going to follow the message of the hour, let's do it. Not only the pastor got to follow the message of the hour, but you all as here. He is responsible to preach, but you're responsible to accept it. Amen. God bless you. Let's go into this prayer request. Let's bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, God, for your amazing grace, Lord. Oh, God, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be a member of the Bride of Jesus Christ, God, to know this message, Father, and not only know the message, Father, I don't want to know the letter, Father, but I want to know that quickening power, Father, that is making this word real to my life, Father. That's what I need. I need to become the word flesh. Hallelujah. We all need to, Father. Oh, God, give us the Holy Spirit, Father. Help us in this day, Father, so we could understand, Father, what is being spoken to us in this day. Father, look at this prayer request, Father, that I've been laying here in this pulpit. God, I see many miracles, God, during the years. And I know that you're Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. You never fail, God. Oh, Father, many of them are cancer. Many of them are needy, Father. Your people will always going to be a needed people, Father. We depend on you, Father. We cannot depend on our own ability, Father, because, Father, we fail, Father. We need God every day. We need your anointing every day. We need your healing every day. We need God every moment of our life, Father. Help us, God, this morning, God. Please, Father, answer this need, Father, according to the richness of your will, Father. Help us, God, answer them according to your word, Father. In the name name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we love you, Lord. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you. I don't get to see some of you outside. I had to leave right away after the service. So we're getting time to Brother Tim Burdett's church. The last time I was here, and I got 10 minutes there. When I left out of Johnson City, I got 10 minutes there before the service started. So I don't want to be there late. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Lord. Amen. I knew he was a preacher when I called him up here. We love Brother Robert, though. God bless our brother. Amen. Ushers, come. Let's receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to welcome you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming, may God bless those folks as well. Let me make this announcement one more time. Buses are full. That's going to the Louisiana youth camp. There's a waiting list. If you're not going to be able to go for some unknown reason, you have to cancel, please let the library know as soon as possible, because there's a waiting list wanting to get on those buses, okay? Everybody understand that? Let's sing a song this morning. Precious Jesus. Is he the most precious thing in your life? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Precious Jesus. Sweet rose of Sharon. His name, loving Savior, my sunshine in the midnight, oh my guiding star that shining all the day. Who is refreshing as an ocean in the desert, as lovely as a flower in the snow, and who is as wise an eagle or her young ones, oh, as peaceful as the summer breeze that blows. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of shade. Speak his name, loving Savior. Oh, Savior, you are my sunshine in the midnight. Oh, you're my guiding star that shines. But he just nods and hums a happy melody, 'cause he knows a liberated soul. Oh, she glad for a liberated soul today.
Oh, sing about being bound for long.
Loving Savior.
Soul can't look back without realizing that something set you free. Wasn't yourself. Aren't you glad He's the one that set you free?
'Cause a liberated soul can't sing about being
God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Brother Harry's going to give us a song this morning. Brother John had several requests to sing the song that he wrote. He'll be singing that, the Lord willing, Wednesday night or whenever he is ready to do that. He's got several requests, and he's probably ready right now. We have this song. Brother Harry going to give us a special, and then we'll go right on into the service. We want to give our pastor plenty of time to bring us the word of the Lord today. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord another good hand clap of praise, if you will. Amen. Brother Harry, God bless you this morning.
Somebody asked me to sing this song. We sing it sometimes at the end of the service, but y'all help me sing it. Light of the world, I'm not sure what the name of it is.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. That made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Together, worthy.
the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. What a privilege it is for us to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's turn today, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. I'd like to read the scriptures that we read last night in the service. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. I'd like to speak to you again today on the anointed word. I trust you enjoyed the service last night. For those of you that were here with us. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And remember the type of people the Corinthians were. They delighted in eloquence, and they delighted in an argument and a debate. So after they become converted, because that human nature is still there, they still leaned in that direction, more toward just word, 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 and no dynamics, no power. So Paul wants to help them to see that the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it's in power. Because people that lean that way in their natural makeup, then they want all word, no dynamics, nothing of the move of the Spirit of God. But you know what? God knows exactly how to balance every one of us out. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And then I ought to read the quote we read last night also from Hebrews chapter 5. But you see, the scriptures, no matter how well you know them, if the Spirit doesn't quicken them, then the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. So it must be quickened or made alive. Listen to this now. Made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the word and make it a reality to you, then the letter is just intellectual. Now think of how powerful God's word is. But if the Holy Ghost don't quicken that word, it just turns you into an intellectual, scripture-loving individual. Isn't that amazing that you could love the scripture, you could love the message, and memorize it and know so much of it, and it still not be actually alive to you? Now listen what it becomes. He said, then the letter is just intellectual. That's where we have so many confessed Christians today, or professed Christians, is that letter, the intellectual conception of Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you today. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, that you've been good to us and allowed us to come to the house of God. We count it a privilege, Father, while we're here in this life, that we've been called to serve the eternal purpose of the Almighty God. Pray today that you'd help us, Lord. May you take your word and just speak to us. Help me that I can get out of the way, Father. Help them that they can be able to move aside, and may you be able to move through us all. Lord, may something of eternal value be accomplished out of this service today, we pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. You know, it's amazing when you think about God's infinite wisdom, how that he knew one day his words would actually be written down. And once they would become written down, then almost anybody that could read, anybody that could have access to a Bible, would be able to get this word. So then if God put the word and the dynamics or the quickening power all just in a book, then the devil, fallen angels, half backslid people, unconverted people, anybody would have total access to all the power of God. So then all they'd have to do is buy a Bible. They could do miracles with this Bible. They could do signs, wonders, supernatural. But God knew that. So God severed his word from quickening power. Now what he does, he divides it. Now quickening power gives the word, and quickening power anoints the prophets, as we looked at it last night, to inspire them to say words that was words absolutely not their own. It couldn't have been. There's no way they could have forecast things and them happen exactly the way they did. But yet it was God's own power. So the quickening power would move upon them, them being a gifted man of God, and they would be able to forecast things in the future that were to be. And yet he would write those words down, but the quickening power would not go on those words. So whenever the man would write it down, it would just be letters like any other letters in any other book.
So it would lay there for years and years and years. Now I want you to see that what God actually does is that God doesn't just quicken the individuals of that age, but God actually pulls the scriptures out of the word that apply to that particular age that you're living in, and then God anoints that word. Now what is the anointed part? It's like the king or the priest, as we looked at last night, that the anointed one was one that was pulled apart and set aside and separated. So God then would take the portion of the word, which is exactly where you and I are right now, that God takes the portion of the word that's speaking about us and our time frame and what God wants us to do. Then God pulls that out of the scripture and God consecrates that portion of the word and sets that portion of the word aside, and then God anoints that word, and then that word becomes quickened to the people who are ordained to life in that age. Now, is it that God removes it out of the Bible? No, God doesn't remove out of the Bible, but God only quickens that word for that particular age. That's why Malachi 4 could lay in the Bible for hundreds and hundreds of years. It caused no trouble. It caused no mess. Of course, neither did it deliver anybody. It brought no revival. It brought no healing campaign until God set apart that word and consecrated or anointed that part of the word. And when he did, then the quickening power came upon Malachi 4, which done what? Released the power of God out of that scripture in order to produce what God wanted to be. You understand what I'm saying? Now then you look, see, and how that God, Revelation 10, Luke 17, 30, the prophecies that pertain to Brother Branham and his ministry, but did it stop there? Does it stop there that God has nothing else to say than about the rest of the age? So all we're to do is just reiterate what's already happened, and we're to repeat it and say, well, God done wonderful things 50 years ago. God done this, God done that, God done that, God done that. Is that all God wants us to do? Just to be repeaters of what he used to do and think, oh my, he used to be a wonderful Savior and a wonderful healer. Isn't there something written in the Word about us? Isn't there something written in the Word pertaining to us of where we are? Then what will the Spirit of God do? He will go straight to that portion of the Word. He'll set that part of the Word aside, and then he will anoint that Word with quickening power. Now when the Word becomes anointed with quickening power, it's looking for a heart in which that Word can come into. Then what will it do? It will manifest that word in a revealed state. So it's no longer just theology. It's no longer just something that people argue and debate about, but it is the word that has been made quickened. So God then anoints the word. Now remember the word that God used as it was in the Old Testament when he would forecast about the coming one, Micaiah, which was one to be anointed, one to be smeared upon with the presence of God. He was set apart from the rest of his brothers. When a king was anointed, was a high priest was anointed, he was set apart from the rest of his brothers. He was still among them, but he was set apart for a particular service. So then the word of God that's given to the bride in this day, it is actually set apart from just the John 3:16 believers. It's set apart from, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that the word? It most certainly is. But yet that's not what gives me faith or going to give you faith to recognize who you are in Christ. Because really, anybody that wants to be saved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But will that produce a rapture? There will be thousands and thousands of people who are saved and who have called on the name of the Lord and will be saved, but will never go into a rapture. So there must be something more that is sanctified, called apart, set apart, and anointed that will produce a rapturing faith. What's it going to be? It's going to be as similar as it was to Jesus, as it was to Brother Branham, as it was to those in the Old Testament. They were able to see themselves identified in a certain portion of the word. And then God allocated that word, and God put the quickening power upon that word, pulled that word apart, and it became the focus of their day. Do we love to preach about Noah and Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel? We do. We thank God for those things. But yet there's something that must be much more personal to us. So we can be able to look into the word and say, God, what about us? What is it for this age? What are we supposed to do as the bride of Christ? Are we to be just like every other church in the Tri-Cities area? where people come and just look a certain way and do a certain thing, and we join a membership, and the only difference between us and everybody else is that we pack Brother Branham's Bibles, or books rather, where they pack a Bible. Is that only the difference in us? It should not be. It should be that we have become the anointed word. Then what? We actually become the Messiah. Because what is a Messiah? It is a people that are called apart. Does it mean they're the only ones going? No. When David was called apart to be the king, he wasn't the only Israelite, but he was the only one called apart to be the king. The bride ain't the only one going, but she's the only one that's anointed to be the bride. There will be churches and churches and more churches, but the bride is called apart. She's set apart, and she is anointed to be his wife. Aren't you glad for that? Now, when Jesus comes to the earth, of course, his virgin birth, immaculate conception, was a fulfillment of prophecy, and he was the Word when he was born. But yet he was not the anointed Messiah until he received the Holy Ghost. And just a background for a little bit for those that wasn't with us, we'll read a few of the quotes that we read last night. And I want you to listen carefully to this. When the Holy Spirit came upon him at the baptism of John, he became the anointed Messiah. Now, listen, friend. He was the sinless virgin-born Son of God at his birth. But he was not the anointed Messiah until he received the Holy Ghost. Now, you can be bride all of your life as far as by seed. But you'll never become the anointed bride until you receive quickening power in your soul. Now, you might know all the quotes. You might know the scriptures that pertain to the bride. You might know it as Moses knew who he was intellectually because his mother had taught him that. But Brother Ben said the pillar of fire had what Moses lacked. Oh, glory. Moses had the word, but he didn't have the quickening power. But the pillar of fire brought that to him. Now, here was Jesus. He was the word, but not the Messiah. Notice he became the anointed Messiah. Now remember, he was the Son of God when he was born. He was God's virgin born son, but when he became Messiah, that's when the Holy Spirit come on him. Amen. Can you imagine him condescending to such a level that he would actually sever his own position away from the Holy Ghost when he come to this earth? I've got to be honest with you. I don't understand what it does to an attribute of God once it's hid in a human temple. I don't understand what it does, that it weakens it. Somehow it brings it beneath what it was when it was in the mind of God. And here the very Son of God himself, being that very pure word. And you mean to tell me his virgin birth did not give him the quickening power? No. If every one of you had been virgin born, you still had to have the Holy Ghost. He was virgin born and still had to get it. Notice when he become Messiah, that's when the Holy Spirit come on him, because the Messiah means what? Messiah is not the Savior. The Messiah is one that's called out, consecrated, set apart, and anointed for a specific purpose. So now he is the anointed one. He was the anointed one when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now he was the Word. He was God's fulfillment of the prophecies up to that fire. But yet he could not take Isaiah 61 when he was a 12-year-old boy and read that at the bar mitzvah and say, this day this scripture is fulfilled, because it had not been fulfilled. You say, I love God, I'm right, I'm this, that, and the other. But friends, so you receive the Holy Ghost, the quickening power inside your soul. You are not called apart and set aside and become the anointed Messiah. It's one of the biggest pitfalls we've had around this message is people that were professors that could talk the word, preachers even, and talk the word and talk it and talk it and talk it and not really be anointed with the quickening power to make it live. Notice again, he said the first thing he did after the temptation in the wilderness, he came forth as the anointed Messiah. The Messiah, Christ. Christ means the anointed one. He was born Jesus, the man. But when the Holy Ghost came into him, he was the anointed Messiah. Christ, jump down to the next one. Christ means the anointed one. A man that was anointed. God dwelling in him. God dwelling in him. A man that was anointed. God dwelling in him. What was it? The germ with the flesh. The anointed one. The flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God. Produced the word made manifest. Now watch, when the prodigal son goes away from his father, and he goes into a country, and he begins to lose the teaching, and lose the principles that has been instilled in him by his father. He loses those things of theory, but yet the word had never become quickened to that boy. But when he comes back, he now enters into a different relationship than he ever had with his father, because it was no more just by the letter of the word, you're my daddy, I'm your son, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't do that because you don't want me to. Now when he comes back, he enters into a different position. How so? Because it had been quickened to him, and he's able to see really who he is and why he is who he is. Oh, glory. I don't want to just see who I am. I want to know who I am and why I am who I am. And that can only come by the quickening. I can study the quotes. I can study the scriptures. But until God makes that word known to me, it'll just be page and paragraph. That's all it'll be. I love this one here in Go Wake Jesus. Listen, you'll see why. They should have known, those disciples, that he was the Messiah. The word Messiah means the anointed one. See then of God, he had all God in him and God was in him. And he said, I, Jesus the Son, said, I do nothing in myself. Now don't answer me out loud, because I don't want you to make a fool out of yourself. But do you know that Jesus could not heal? Jesus could not save. And Jesus could not deliver. If people would have come to Jesus and said, Jesus, the man, the boy, heal me, Jesus would have had to tell them, I can't, I'm sorry. I can't heal you. Well, why in the world are you troubled? Because you can't walk on water. Just walk on the earth. Take care of that, then we'll walk on water later. Now you imagine that Jesus subjected himself to that place that he said the Son can do nothing in himself. You mean his virgin birth did not give him such power that he could do it without the Father? Absolutely not. Do you understand what the virgin birth was for? It was to produce a blood and a nature that had not been tainted by sex. It did not give him any more power than you've got. So Jesus could not have went on with his ministry, because there'd been no miracles. There would have been no signs. There would have been no wonders until he become the Messiah. For the Son can do nothing in himself. Notice Brother Ben said, I can do nothing in myself. But what I see the Father do, the Father dwelleth in me. See now, he was Messiah by that, with that anointing, made him fully Messiah. And we with the same Spirit that was upon him, not in portion, but the same quality. With a portion upon us. Hold on, everybody. Would make us like. Say it. Now, it's not the same portion, but it's the same quality. And in essence, the very same character. So this is what he wanted to have, would be a people, a whole church of Messiahs. Now, will everybody in the economy of God be Messiahs? Absolutely not. The church world will never attain to this, because they're not called apart and set aside. The kings of the earth that will live outside the new city, they'll never attain to this. But this is a people that are called apart at God's own choosing. Oh, I want to be bride. Well, that's all well and good, but you don't choose to be bride. He chooses that. And those that he chooses, he will equip them with the ability to become the anointed word. Now, what's this? Jesus being virgin born, being holy, the immaculate birth, separated, consecrated. But Jesus still needed to be quickened to the word. He could read it and read it, and read it and read it and read it. Is that me or not? You think because he was virgin born, don't you, that he knew absolutely everything? You are absolutely wrong. Jesus needed the Holy Ghost just like you need it. Now watch this. The Word within itself in Jesus did not have the power. Did not have the power to raise the dead, heal the sick, nor even raise Jesus himself. Jesus did not have confidence just in the written Word. Watch this in the Easter seal. He says, Jesus, so full of this quickening power, said, you can destroy this temple that took you 40 years you thought to build. And I'll raise it in three days. Why? Why could Jesus say that? I want to ask you. Why could Jesus say such a thing as that? He knew who he was. Now notice how Jesus' faith goes right back to the Word. I wish I could make that stick. He knew who he was. He knew that every word God wrote in there of him, he had fulfilled it. He knew he was the one David spoke of. Very next paragraph. Do you know? You're the ones the Bible speaks of. Okay, so part of being Messiah is being able to identify yourself by quickening power in the Word. Not just being able to read it and say, okay, well, this is me and this is me and this is me. That's not it. It must be quickened to you so you can quicken it. Oh, my. Do you know you're the ones the Bible speaks of? And the congregation says, amen. Do you know your position in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Do you know this Word? It's like everyday living to you. Well, sure, it's yours. You're an eagle. That's your food. So watch now, Jesus, when he comes to the earth, knowing there'll be more sons and daughters that will come and follow him, he separates himself from quickening power. And he has to receive it like you'd have to receive the Holy Ghost. So he goes down in obedience to John and he gets baptized. And here comes the Holy Ghost and fills him without measure. Then Jesus starts reading the Word in a different way. Because now it has become quickened to him. And now God will turn around and take him, the quickened Word, to quicken what this written Word says about him. You see, it all just ties together. Now watch, he knew that by the power of God he would do it. Because it was prophesied he would do it. That's the reason he wasn't scared to say, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Now can you imagine? It took the fear away. Now he did not know this by preexistence. He did not know this by knowledge. He did not know this by wisdom. He knew it by perfect faith. Jesus did not say this saying, I know I have existed before and I will go back to that position. That would have been unjust for him to be able to conquer by that and leave you down here in black and your memory to such. So how did he do it? By faith. That he looked into the Word and the Spirit dwelling in him quickened that portion of the Word to him. And he said, I know I am that prophecy. So destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Watch, he said, why? He was so full of quotes, scriptures, Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek lexicon. He was so full of quickening power. Lord Jesus. He was so full of quickening power that quickened every word. He looked back and seen every word wrote of him. And the prophet said he fulfilled it, and he knew that would be fulfilled too. So after receiving the quickening power, he could look back into the Word and read the Word under what influence? Not under the influence of a Pharisee, a Sadducee, but under the influence of quickening power. Notice again, he knew it would happen because the Word said it was. Every word wrote of him had to be fulfilled. He knew that it was written. Now notice how it was written. By the power of God. Well, if God wrote this by his power, how is it going to be understood? By his power. How is it going to be lived? By his power. Now we can try to make this message like the Amish or the Mennonites, the Hadarites, and we can make it to where that we dress a certain way and do a certain way simply because it's tradition, or we can tie into that quickening power and live this life by a quickened life within us. And so, well, why do you have long hair? Well, I don't know. I mean, the church I go to, that's just what they teach there. Why do you go women wear dresses? Well, I don't know. I mean, that's just what my pastor says, so I do it. But if that word is quickened to you, you may not be able to explain it in a theological term, but in very simple layman's terms, you can be able to answer this similar like this. It is a sign of being set apart, consecrated. Do you understand, you wives that have got a husband? Do you understand what you did? You were consecrated to that man. You were set apart. But any of you husbands want your wives to run around with anybody, any other men of the church? No. Brother Charlie, but you want Sister Chevy going around kissing on the men of the church?
No!
You wouldn't! Why? Because she's consecrated unto him. Do you understand why we dress different, why we look different, why we do different? We are consecrated. We're set apart from the church. We're not to look like the church. We're not to look like the world. We are consecrated and anointed to be his wife. Now that's kind of difficult sometimes because, sisters, maybe before you get married, you might like to wear your hair a certain way. After you get married, your husband may say, you know what, I don't like your hair like that. I never did. I want you to wear it this way and that way. So, I don't want you wearing that perfume no more. That stuff like to gag me to death whenever we was going together. And you ain't wearing it no more now that we're married. Come on now. How many knows that there's changes that has to be made? Same with a man. Maybe the man changes his clothes and leaves them piled up there in the pile. But after he gets married, you look at him and say, look here, young man, you ain't doing this no more. Why? He is consecrated, set aside to you. And you are consecrated. You don't want him making eyes at somebody else. You don't want her making eyes at nobody else. But they are consecrated. And you anoint them in your love. Oh, glory. So watch what Jesus does. This is amazing to me that he does not look at himself as being so holy and so righteous because of the virgin birth and say, I don't need the Holy Ghost. Who are you, God, to tell me I need the Holy Ghost? You know who you're talking to. I'm the virgin born Son of God. I'm the Word. God not only told him to get the Holy Ghost, but he told him to go down there and get baptized by a prophet. So Jesus goes down there in obedience to the word and gets baptized. Friends, let me tell you something. You find that old rebellious spirit, remember, it's come from the other side, not from this side. But Jesus himself went down and submitted himself to a preacher to get baptized. And then while that was taking place, the Holy Ghost come upon him. And you want to tell me you're too big for that? Something wrong with you. Notice this again, the Easter cell, as the promised Messiah, he quickened every word. Glory. Now wait a minute. How could he quicken it? How could he quicken the word? Now watch when God separated the word from the quickening power. And then when the season arrives for this portion of the word to be made real. The quickening comes on that word. Then people go to catching it by the illumination. They know there's a move for something. It's time. It's time. It's time. What is it? The quickening power. Now the quickened word alone off of the letter will never manifest itself. But it must have humans. Skin, flesh, and bones. So then God sends out the anointing of the Holy Ghost and it begins to look out the word seed. That was inside of their soul. Amen. Now they may have packed it for years and years and years, but now the anointing is released and the quickening power for the age is searching out that eagle. And when it does, it comes upon them and quickens them to where now they realize there's more to God than this. There's more. I mean, no, there's got to be more. But are they complete yet? No. They must connect. The anointed word that has been set apart for this age, they must get together with that, because now they are set apart. So they must come together. And when it does, it will open their understanding, and they in turn will quicken that promise by their life and make it fulfilled. So it quickens you, and you quicken it. Do you understand Brother Branham's life and his ministry quickened Malachi 4? Amen. Notice this. He quickened every word that was prophesied that he would do. Heal the sick, how he would be born of a virgin, all that made right. It's true. He was the word manifested here on earth. But he could not do this just as a man. Friends, if he could, what makes us so convinced we can? Can't you see why Satan wants to come among us in our ranks and take away the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost? All we need to do is play tapes or just go to church and listen to a preacher and try to absorb what's said and try to do the best you can and just let it go at that. Oh my. He could not do this as a man, but yet even virgin born, pure, sinless, holy, undefiled, and that could not do it. The virgin birth itself could not produce the product. We're talking about a life to be quickened. It taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises to him. You see, when God says something in his word, you hear a minister preach certain promises of God, healing, deliverance, whatever it is for you, the rapture, the portion of the scripture that pertains to the bride, and you're sitting there struggling back and forth, well, that ain't you, you're Judas. That ain't you, you're Pharaoh. That ain't you, you know what? That word needs to be quickened to you in such a way. The devil will always lie to this, but if it ever anchors in your soul, you'll never from your soul again say, I am Judas. I'm a Pharaoh. I'm an unbeliever. I'm probably of the devil. If it ever anchors in your soul, it will never come from your lips again from your soul. Your outside house may say it. The spirit may be weary. The body may be weary. But your soul can never punctuate anything from that day on. But amen to the word. Now watch then, so they've taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken the promises to him. I hope that we get this real clear now. Amen. Jesus being a man, himself, the body. But it took the Spirit in him. The Spirit. It's not me that doeth the works. Jesus couldn't heal the sick. They could have brought thousands of people to Jesus and said, heal them. He'd have to say, I wish I could. But I can't. The Spirit of God led him by vision to a man who had a prostate trouble. He bypassed all kinds of people on the way that had no doubt horrible and terrible diseases. And he left him laying right there because the Spirit of God led him to this man. And this man was able to get up, pack his bed around. He was able to do all sorts of things, but he could not stop and heal them others just at will. Lord have mercy, children. And in our mind, we're thinking, oh boy, when we all get adopted, we'll go down to the hospitals, we'll empty them all out. Man, we'll do this and the other. Really? And what Walt Disney book did you get that out of? Because you sure never got it out of the Bible. If the Son of God never done that as a Messiah, we won't do it. Being Messiah is not just throwing power around and doing what you want. It's being obedient to him. Can you imagine Jesus as a man passing by little crippled children? Maybe little kids with little arms and limbs is all drawn up. had leprosy and their fingers was gone and their nose was gone. And Jesus walked right among them and went over to another man. A multitude laying there, a man that could get up and move around. He couldn't help it. It's what the Father led him to do. And he was the anointed Messiah. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. When we become the anointed Messiah, man, we'll stand out there and we'll speak to the wind and we'll calm thunderstorms and lightning storms. Really? I didn't realize God gave you control of atmospheric pressure. You Thor or somebody? The God of lightning, the God of thunder? There's some elements I want to control, all right. It's the 16 that makes this body. I ain't worried about lightning and thunder. I've tried that a few times. I give up on it. I've been out hunting and tried that lightning stuff and thunder stuff. I just run. I've just learned how to run and make haste fast, get out of the woods. Amen. I'm going to say, oh my, boy, and the bride will do this and do that. Be careful. Don't you see what they done? They painted a picture in their mind of what the Messiah would be. And when he come, he was so different than what they thought. I wonder if the Messiah bride is not right here among us. But we've so got it in our mind that she'll do this, well, she'll do that, and she'll do something else, and she'll do something else. Make sure what you're saying is based upon the examples of the Word. I wish somebody preached with me this morning instead of looking at me. Notice Jesus, the man, the boy, the body, the tabernacle, would have to stand there and say, it's not me that does the works. It's my Father. I wish I could help you, but really I can't. There's not much I can do for you. I wish a lot of preachers would learn that. They think they got the answer for everything or something wrong somewhere, friends. You think you got the answer for everything? Come back to the words of Jesus. I wish I could help you, friend, but I can't if God don't help me. This is what the bride should be saying. Boy, I can do this and I can do that. No. I can't do anything if the Father don't help me. Look, the Word becomes so anointed, he could speak and the winds would lay down. The boisterous seas would calm. And yet he would sit outside the city after he raised the widow from Nain's son from the dead and groan with a headache. If you'd have lived in that day 2,000 years ago and you'd have seen that great miracle and it would have so grabbed your attention, you'd have followed Jesus out of the city. You said, man, I've got to see more of this. And all of a sudden you see him sit down on a rock and you see him sit there and put his head down in his hands and say, Peter, y'all got anything for headache? Y'all got any herbs or anything for headache? Oh. Oh, it's killing me. Oh. Now, would you have wanted the people to see this? Peter, James, and John. Would you wanted everybody to come around and say, look at this, look at... You'd want to hit it. Oh, the master's got a rest. Don't nobody look over this way. He's got a rest. Glory, hallelujah. Everybody say, Would you want anybody to hear those words? I've got a headache. And this was the anointed Messiah. Why didn't he take his hand and turn around like this and say, I heal myself? Headache! Leave my body! He couldn't even heal himself. Because the anointed Word moves as the anointing moves it. Not at our will, friends. It's not that God is emptying out all this great power and we're going to stand down here and do this when it's not magic. The power of God is not to be used as a witch displaying magic and throwing fire around. This is sacred. Lord Jesus, He said, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He was a man born of the virgin. But it taken the Spirit of God to quicken that word to him. He was the word quickened. And the word quickened for that hour.
Amen.
Amen. The time had come when you have to have a redeemer. The law failed. Other things had failed. Now it takes a redeemer. And the promised redeemer, he was quickened by the word of God.
Amen.
Now watch, he gives the disciples a commission by the word. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. Now this is a commission of sending the 70 out. But there's something he did not give them. Watch this in perfect faith. They had power, but they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. Now he gave them the word and said, now go to this, go to that, go to that, go to that. He gave them power by delegation of authority. But faith don't come that way.
Amen.
Glory. Now he could give them the word. Go on out there in my name and do this, that, and the other. But they lacked faith because this had come second-handed. So here they go out and they're able to do certain things and make certain parts of the word live. But difficult cases they could not handle. Not because of the lack of power, but the lack of faith in their own position. Now there's certain parts of the word that you and I can make live. Bob Hare Jezebels can make certain parts of the word live. The church world can make certain parts of the word live. But to be quickened for a rapture, it takes something greater than our faith to make it live. So here they go out and they're able to do great miracles and signs, but there's certain ones they couldn't be able to deliver because it was in their own shortcoming of their position. Now watch this. He says they had power, but they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. You see what I mean? But Jesus had it. He was the word. And he had faith that what he said would happen. He said, oh, bring him here. How long will I suffer you? Now, they could do certain things by this delegated authority. But they didn't have faith in who they were because they weren't born again yet. So when they come across this epileptic devil, and he threw the man into the fire and all this, and they backed off and said, oh man, we can't do it. There's no way. Did the power get weak?
No.
Did they lose their delegated authority?
No.
They lost faith in who they were. I hope God helps you to understand that's where most of us lose ours too. It's not that you've lost your power. It's not that you've lost your new birth. It's that you've lost your recognition of position of who you are. And you feel weak and wore out and stressed out in all the age that we're living in, and you ain't just got faith in who you are. I don't want to shake you too bad, but I do want to shake you enough where your dentures are foul out and you stomp on them after a while. I'm going to shake you hard enough to know that no matter how much faith you've got in God, if you don't have faith in you, the mountain still won't move. You can have faith in God. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. You ain't even got above the devil yet. If thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It ain't enough just to believe God and to believe His words. You got to have confidence in who you are. Can I go a bit further? Now what's what Jesus had? He had faith with His power. How did He? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. And he had faith in God who made him the Word. He was God the Word, and they was in him that give him faith because he understood his position. So here is an element of faith that goes beyond Mark 16. It goes beyond James 5. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll anoint them with oil. They'll do this, they'll do that. Here is an element of faith that's only for the called out. The faith, now listen, this faith does not just come by hearing sermons. This faith is a revelation of your position. What's this? Now, Jesus, he has the promises. And that gave him faith because he understood his position. So not hearing the word gave him faith. Not going to church gave him faith. But he understood his position. And that gave him faith. I know who I am. I'm the Redeemer. I'm the Savior. I'm the only one that can do this. So this gives him faith. Not just in the Word. Not just faith in quickening power. But faith in his position. Now not the flesh. Not the flesh, because he done separates the flesh from the inward man. And he said, in myself I can do nothing. But it's my Father dwelling in me. And the Father in him revealed to him this was his position. And it released that supernatural faith. I can do this. I must do this. I will do this. I wonder if that could happen to us here today at Happy Valley. Pray for me that I can make it. Oh, I hope that I can make it. Oh, my friends, if it's revealed to you, then them things is out of your terminology. Pray for me that I can make it. Oh, I hope I can make it. Nonsense. We've got to make it. By God's grace, it gives us faith in our position. So here was the written word laid there for thousands of years per those prophecies. Then the anointing fell upon them. It circled the earth. Circled the earth. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Then the time frame was right. That word dropped from the heavens and come down and spoke to a little virgin girl. Now then that word, the angel, now brings quickening over that promise. Her faith accepts it, be it unto me according to thy word. Then the Holy Ghost overshadows her and begins to create this promise in her as a mortal. You follow me? The Spirit of God takes that promise and don't put it in her head, but puts it in her womb. And creates this promise inside this virgin. Now he becomes the Word when he's born. Then the Holy Ghost quickens that messianic prophecies to him. And now he turns around and quickens them by the life that's in him. And that's why I can say this day, this scripture is fulfilled before you. Now whenever he turned around and looked at that, then he could see, I'm the Savior, I'm the kinsman, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. I'm the one who's sent to bring healing in my wings. I'm the one they're going to push their lips out. I'm the one they're going to beat me. But I'm also the one who raised from the dead. Why? He had faith. Not just in what Jeremiah said. Not just faith in what Jonah said. But he had faith in his position. That gave him faith because he understood his position. He knew what he was because the scripture has said he was this. And every scripture tied in proved that he was exactly what the scripture said he would be. Are you ready? Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? But we spend so much of our time looking at what mama give you. What daddy give you. Well, I'm just a Reagan. I'm just a Witz. And I'm a Phillips. I'm a Yawns. I'm this and that and the other. You need to get your eyes off of that. That thing will discourage you every day of your life if you keep looking at that. Brother, sister, let's not look at that part of it. Sure, we have to deal with it. We know it's there. But the thing we want to focus on in, what did God make me? What did God make me? He made me a son. He made me a child of God filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what will give me faith to get out of here. Not what Don Reagan gave me. Listen how simple this is. Now look at the title of this sermon. Perfect Faith. He relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith. Notice, not just in the written word, but in the written word quickened in what he was. He was the written word quickened. So his faith is moving just beyond the Torah. It's moving beyond the written passages of scriptures. He had faith in what he was. This in him. This in him. And he had faith in this in him. Notice. Oh my. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You are. It's too simple, isn't it? It's too simple for us. It just don't do nothing for us. I mean, we just sat there and y'all just said, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. If it was quickened to you, do you understand? He's giving us the same equation for bride messiahs. And if you've got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith. We have confidence toward God. Amen. If you want to read that, found in John 3:21. I got the scripture written down here. 1 John 3:21. But as long as you're doing things that's wrong, you can't have confidence toward God. You will automatically know that you're wrong. You automatically put yourself back there as a sinner by knowing that you're wrong. But when your heart don't condemn you, and you know you are a believer, and there's nothing between you and God, you can ask what you will and know that it will be given, because it's the word that's given to you, just like it was to those disciples. And the only thing you have to do then is have faith. Not in Brother Branham. Not in your pastor, your mama. But have faith in what you are. Lord Jesus. Jesus had faith in the word of God that said he what he was. It's written of me. Didn't David and the Psalms and the prophets and all this speak of him? I'm the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. Amen. I'm the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. I'm all these things. I am that I am. He knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him, and he said, in myself I do nothing, but it's my faith in God. How can this be? How can this be that he would condescend to such a place that he would live as any other mortal on this earth that would have to have faith in God? He would not revert back to his pre-existence and say, I have faith, knowing I was before the world. But as a mortal, as you, needing to have faith in God. And God was in him, the word made manifest. And when the word of God comes in you, it's made manifest. For you are a believer, and because of this. And a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. We call women in this message believers because they have long hair and long dresses. Or men because they don't look like a hippie and wear gold earrings and all that sort of thing. But that's not really a believer, friend. A believer is the faith of God in you. It moves you. That's a believer. God believes his own word. Stand. Let me read this paragraph 77. It so ties in with this one we just read. He knew who he was, therefore he had faith. And faith could produce when he knowed what he was. Well, if you and I need rapturing faith, and if we never come to a recognition of who we are, how can we ever get it? Can't you see why Satan wants to sidetrack us and get us all of our attention on Brother Branham, or all of our attention on Brother Donnie, or this man or that man, and leave you sitting there in the pew and you never know who you are? Therefore he had faith, and faith could produce when he knowed what he was. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you know who you are. Ask what you will and it'll be given you. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight? If everybody come in their prayer line and say, I am a Christian. I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemned me not. Something tells me that tonight is the end of my suffering. Oh, glory. Glory. You're going away over something. No matter how much you come in emotion, how much you do, it won't work until that perfect faith is manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. And when it's there, there is nothing going to shake you from it. So if you're prayed for this morning with cancer and you get worse, if it's revealed to you by substance faith, it don't make one bit of difference. Matter of fact, Brother Ben said the doctor can tell you you're going to die. He said you go right there in life in that doctor's face. Glory. Why? Because that word becomes anointed in you. And then you turn around by the life you're living and you anoint that promise. And when you walk up here, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you walk up and I pray for you, or these other ministers praying for you, we're doing that to the letter, the best we know how. But if that substance grabs a hold in you to that promise, then you're taking that promise and walking away from this altar, and you are quickening that promise by your life. I obeyed it by laying hands on you, but I can't quicken it for you. You understand, church? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd be able to take these scattered thoughts of my feeble efforts, Lord, to be able to help your children. We want to see who we are, Lord. Oh God, open our understanding. I've known for a long time, Lord, that you can quicken the word to me and I can see it and then come and preach it to them. And it loses so much from the time that I preach it till it hits them. It don't mean that I'm bigger than them or greater than them. I don't mean that. It just means when you showed it to me, it was real to me. For I couldn't really preach anything that wasn't quickened to me. But I walk away feeling so sad because I see what it done for me. And then I see them sitting there and they're trying to comprehend and they're trying to understand. And it's just not real to them. But Lord, I pray you'd help us. If you said it when you were here, I can do nothing in myself. Help us to humble ourselves, Lord Jesus. And say we cannot understand this word without your help. Lord, though I have preached since I was just a boy, and though I've preached this message, and though I've looked at tens of thousands and thousands of quotes and scriptures in the span of my years of ministry, I cannot quicken this word to myself. It takes you, Lord Jesus. Help me that I'll never get to the place that I think I don't need you to quicken the word to me. Help these believers that they don't think, Lord, that by hearing it repeated over and over again, and they're a veteran in the message, and they've been around so long, and that it cannot be quickened to them. Help us, Lord Jesus. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, every preacher, every deacon, every one of us. Hallelujah. May we say as you, Lord, I can do nothing in myself. I can't make the word live. I can't quicken the promise. I cannot produce a rapture. I just simply can't do it. Lord, help us, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus. That we can look into the word and it'll be quickened to us. Amen. And it will give us faith in our position. That we're the bride. We're to take this word and propagate it in bride form. Great it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants that to be in your life that way? Would you just raise your hand to God? Can you say like Jesus did, I can do nothing in myself. I can't make this word live. I can't make this message live. I can't do it. We've all tried. We've tried so many different things to make it work, make it live. We can't do it on our own, friends. It takes quickening power.
the quickening power of God to take these promises and quicken them to your life. You say, what will I do, Brother Don? Well, some of you will change diapers, and some of you will bake pecan pies, and some of you will pour your young ones a bowl of Cheerios, and others of you will roll paint up and down a wall, and others of you will go to a salvage yard and pick up converters and starters and alternators, and but you'll do it like Jesus would if Jesus was a converter man. If Jesus was a painter, you'd roll them walls and behave and act and conduct your business. If Jesus was a painter. If Jesus was a barber, whatever Jesus was, it would be His Word manifested living out of you. But even though people may not know where you go to church and what you believe, yet your being permeates an atmosphere, and they sense something every time they get around you. They may not know what it is, but they know there's something different about you. You know what it is? It's that word being quickened to you, and you are quickening that word. You may not say one thing. You may not mention one thing in theology. You may not say, hey man, are you saved? Hey man, you know God sent a prophet, but there's something that permeates from your being. And they know there's something different. And they'll be drawn to you. Oh, glory to God. Children, what more could we have that be of greater value? Brother Charlie Cox told me one time when Brother Brandon would come down here in Kentucky. He'd go hunting, wear his blue jeans or overalls, whatever he'd wear, and his beard would be growed out. Have blood all over his fingers and all that with his skin and squirrels. They'd go to a little country store over there near Camelsville. Brother Ben didn't want any of the guys he was with to tell the people who he was. So they'd just go in and get a bologna sandwich or a Coke or whatever more. But Brother Charlie said it's always amazing to watch people as they would just gravitate to where Brother Benham was. They didn't know who he was as far as the name or the office of the gift. But they just felt something. Lord Jesus, may that be my testimony. May people not know Donnie Reagan so much as a preacher. Donnie Reagan is this, that, the other. But let there be something about my being, Brother Skip. Let there be something about me as a Christian. They may not even know what it is, but let it create such an atmosphere of the love of God. You understand, children? That we can have faith in our position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands. Let's just worship Him together now. Hey, sing something. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father.
Lord, prepare me.
Yes, Lord.
To be a sanctuary. Pure and holy.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Let's worship Him now. Hallelujah. You'll be a sanctuary. Faith in your position. Sing it now.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving,
yes, Lord God.
I'll be a living.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Father. We love you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship Him a little, saints. Think of how privileged we are that God would let us become the anointed word. A Messiah. A Messiah. That our lives could be anointed. To represent the Lord Jesus. Pulled apart, consecrated, set aside. to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Your goodness, your greatness to us, oh God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God.
Sanctuary.